Please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And our subject this morning is the seeking shepherds. The seeking shepherds. Well, we come on this Christmas day, this Christmas morning, to the second part of the account of the birth of Christ. We looked at the first part of the account yesterday on the Lord's Day morning. We looked at verse 7 in particular. Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, and we considered the great wonder of that, and the very unique nature of that firstborn son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then the narrative in this chapter 2 of the Gospel according to Luke switches focus to the shepherds. The shepherds being visited by the angel of the Lord, we are told in verse 9, or verse 8, let's begin. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them," the angel Gabriel most likely, "and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." So the angel of the Lord is there, soon to be joined by a great multitude of angels. And initially we read there that the shepherds were sore afraid, extremely afraid. And what we have in these verses is a great contrast. At the beginning of this account, well, the angels are very afraid, sore afraid. That's what we read. But then by the end of the account, they are rejoicing. Verse 20, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." A great contrast between the beginning of the account, they're terrified, and then by the end they are praising God. And well, you could say that this is so often the way of how a Christian comes to faith. When a Christian comes to faith, you know, it very often begins with fear. People nowadays, they seem to be very fearful of having anything to do with God. If you speak to people about God, they don't really want to speak to you. They're very fearful. Some are very fearful of coming to church, attending a church service. Others are terrified of what the minister is going to say, the preaching of the Word of God. Others are scared to even read the Bible. What does the Bible have to say? So the Christian life can often begin with great fear, but ultimately there is nothing to fear. Ultimately, as we see with the shepherds, those fears are unwarranted, they are unrealized. Instead, there's everything to gain. There is great joy in the Christian message, and that is exactly what the angel, well, he says to the shepherds. The angel said unto them, verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's what we say. Don't be afraid. Fear not. If there's anybody here fearful or on edge, well, we understand that because a lot of us were like that right at the very beginning. But there is no need to be fearful. Fear not, said the angel to the shepherds. There is nothing to fear from this message. But then verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And we mentioned yesterday about how this is all according to Old Testament prophecy. And verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The manger, remember, the feeding trough for animals, for beasts. That is the place where the Lord Jesus Christ is laid, that lowly, humble place. In verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Well, what a sight this must have been for the angels. The night sky is lit up as though it was day, and there is a multitude of the heavenly host. This is, by the way, what the angels always do. The angels always do this. This is their full-time employment. The angels in heaven, that is what they're doing. They're praising God. They're glorifying God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. They are, this is what they're always doing in heaven. And really what you have here is a heavenly scene brought down to earth. This is what is always happening in heaven, but it's being brought down to earth. And why is that? Well, because the King of heaven, the King of heaven has come down from heaven to earth. Therefore, there is this heavenly scene. The angels in heaven have come down to earth. They are showing the shepherds what heaven is like. Why is that? Because the joy of heaven, the Son of God, he has come down from heaven to earth. And so therefore there is this heavenly scene before the shepherds, because Christ has come, the Son of God, equal with the Father. We considered this yesterday, so I won't go into great detail. But the joy of heaven, the King of heaven has come down from heaven to earth. And so therefore the angels in heaven have come down, and they are before the shepherds. But then we have verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And this is the verse that I would like to focus on and bring out various points just very briefly for us this Christmas day. Well, first of all, just to consider what a marvel it is that the angels came to shepherds. The angels came to shepherds. Now, there had been, of course, some very notable shepherds in Israel's history. David, King David, was a shepherd boy, before he became king. You know this very well. Moses had been a shepherd for 40 years before he led the children of Israel out from Egypt. He had been a shepherd. The prophet Amos in the Old Testament, he too was a shepherd. So there had been some notable shepherds in the history of Israel, but by the time of the birth of Christ, well, shepherds were very lowly people. It was an undesirable occupation, undesirable, unesteemed. People looked down on shepherds. They almost looked with contempt on shepherds. Shepherds were not important people at all. They were irrelevant. Who cared about shepherds? Well, God cared about shepherds, and he sends the angels to speak to the shepherds, not to the most important people, not to the king, not to King Herod. The angels weren't sent to him, not even to the religious people, not even to the Pharisees, the scribes. The angels weren't sent to the temple in Jerusalem. The angels were sent to the shepherds. And what does that teach us? Well, very obviously, that the Lord God is interested in all of us, not just the important people, not just the religious people, all of us. He calls all of us to himself to know him. There is no discrimination in the call of God. No discrimination at all. Even the lowliest of people will be called throughout the gospel age. This is what it teaches us. Even the lowliest of people, and in fact, we read later on that it was actually the common people who had the greatest affection for Christ. Not King Herod, he hated Christ, wanted to slay him as a child. Certainly not the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious people, they too despised Christ. But we read of the common people that they heard him gladly. So dear friends, this is the first lesson for us. The angels come to the shepherds. So don't feel you need to be important or religious to have anything to do with God. You don't. Because the shepherds weren't important or religious, and God sent the angels to them. So this is something we have to understand. And if you're a seeker, this can be very precious to you. But then we read how the shepherds, they actually sought the Lord. The shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass." They went to look for the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't the case that the angels came to them, told them the message, and then the shepherds did absolutely nothing about it, and they went back to tending their sheep. That wasn't the case. No, they knew that this message required a response. And I spoke about this very recently in a gospel message. The Christian message is not a message that we just hear and then ignore. It's a message that requires a response. We have to do something about what we hear. That's what the shepherds realized. You don't just hear it and then go about your business. The shepherds, they had the message. We have to do something about it. This is the nature of the gospel message. It requires a response. And they were talking to each other about it. The shepherds said one to another. They spoke about it. And actually later on, this is worth mentioning, we read in verse 19 that Mary, well, she pondered everything that happened to her. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, all the things that God had done for her. She thought about these things. She meditated upon them even. And well, this is why we preach. This is certainly why I preach. When I preach, I don't preach just to give you a nice little message. I want to get you to actually think about what is being said, to think about these things, to ponder, to talk about them, to go away and to think, well, who is this God? Who is this Lord Jesus Christ? Why actually did he come into the world? And what has all this got to do with me? That's the nature of preaching. That's the purpose of preaching, not just for you to sit and listen, but to actually think, what has this got to do with me? That is something that we have to do. This is a message that we must respond to. And the shepherds responded, and they went to see the Lord Jesus Christ. They actually, if I can put it this way, they went to see the evidence. The evidence that what the angels had said was true. And well, again, we exhort people. Ministers preach, pastors preach. And well, the exhortation is, go and seek the evidence for what we say. Is there evidence for what I say? Yes, of course there's evidence. Some people say there's no evidence for God. There's evidence everywhere. And I'm not going to go into all the evidence. I spoke yesterday about the evidence of history and how Christ has had the most influence on history of all the kings, all the emperors, all the dictators. Put them all together, they don't even have a fraction of the influence that the Lord Jesus Christ has had. There's the evidence of history. You see how the Christian religion has been persecuted throughout history. You know, that proves the truth of the Bible. The Christian religion is the most opposed religion. It's the most hated religion. It's the most despised religion. And that proves the truth of the Bible. That's what the Bible says, that the world will hate Christ. So you look at the enmity, the opposition in the world, that's the evidence that what we speak of is true and that the Bible is true. Go and seek the evidence. And of course, well, you have the evidence of Christians all around the world, Christians, even in this church, who have had their lives changed. Their lives changed. Why have they had their lives changed so completely? Well, because they know the Lord. Because they have entered into a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have. You know, this is what Christianity is. Christianity is not simply a religion, a materialistic religion where we do ceremonial things. Christianity is a relationship. You have entered into a true living relationship with Christ. That is what changes us. You know, people change when they get into a relationship. If a young man falls in love with a young woman, that young man will change. You'll see it. He will stop doing the foolish things that he used to do, the unwise things, the harmful things, because he's in love. He's changed. And that is exactly why you see a great change in Christians. We haven't been forced into that. We haven't been manipulated into that. We love Christ. Therefore, we repent. We change. We turn away from sin and we do those things that please God. We have entered into a living relationship. So that's so very important. Being a Christian is not just going to church and singing hymns, though we love doing those things, but we know the Lord and we love him and we have entered into a holy relationship with him by faith in him. And that is what God calls to each and every one of us. You see, there's nothing to fear. That's all that the Lord is calling to us, calling us to a relationship of love. There's nothing to fear from that. Of course not. So this is what the shepherds did. They went to seek the Lord, and that is what we exhort you to do. Seek the Lord, pray to him, call upon him. But thirdly, let's look at verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Well, this is wonderful that the shepherds, they went, they sought the Lord, and they found him. But notice, they came with haste. They went quickly. They didn't mess around. They didn't take ages. They acted speedily, with urgency. You know, there's a verse in the scriptures, Proverbs 8, verse 17. Those that seek me early shall find me. Those that seek me early shall find me. And you can apply that to the shepherds here. They sought the Lord as soon as they had been told. They came with haste. And what happened? They found the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that seek me early shall find me. And this is, of course, what we teach. We are not to delay going to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Christ. We're not to delay it. So many people do. So many people say to themselves, well, I know about the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm going to come later in life. It's not really that urgent. I'll come later, maybe when I'm an old person. In my 70s, in my 80s, maybe even my 90s, if I can wait that long. That's what so many people think. That's so very foolish. That's so very dangerous. You know, generally speaking, and certainly in my experience of people, the longer you live without God, the further you get from God. It's not the longer you live, the closer you get. The longer you live without God, the further you get away from God. The more your heart is increasingly hardened against God. You live so many years without God, things happen in your life, you actually end up blaming God. Blaming God for all of your failures and for all of your miseries. You don't get closer to God the longer you leave it. People generally, they grow further away. And well, these things, they are so very sad. Many people, well, they have so many regrets. And I don't know many people, actually, who have come to the Lord in later life. Yes, there are some, one or two. There is hope, of course, whatever age you are. I don't want to give the wrong impression. There's always hope. But what I'm trying to say is that if you want to be sure of seeking and finding the Lord, if you want to be sure, you must come early. You must come as soon as you can. You know, we only have a limited number of opportunities to come to the Lord. You don't have an infinite number of opportunities. You don't have unlimited number. You only have a limited number of opportunities to come to Christ. And I am sure, well, if the shepherds had delayed here, if the shepherds had not acted with haste, I don't think they would have found the Lord. They wouldn't have found the Lord Jesus if they hadn't acted with haste. There's only a limited opportunity for us in this life. You have to come now. You have to come without delay. Follow the example of these shepherds. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. But fourthly, verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. When they had seen the Lord Jesus, well, they shared the message. They shared the message with all those around them. And this is what we do. Very simple application. This is why we have a gospel service today and every Lord's Day in this church, because we want to share the message. This is why we go out into the community and knock on doors, because we want to share the message. And I realize this is very unpopular nowadays. Nowadays, people say to you, well, it's okay for you to have your religion. It's okay for you to have your beliefs, but keep them to yourself. Don't tell them to anybody else. Don't go knocking on doors. You want to be a Christian? That's fine. Keep it to yourself. But dear friends, we can't do that. Look at the example of the shepherds. This is the commandment of God. We must obey God rather than men, but we do it out of love for people, out of love for those around us. You know, if we had found a cure for cancer and just kept it to ourselves and didn't tell anyone, that would be wrong, wouldn't it? Of course. If we had found the solution to end all poverty, to end all wars, to end all injustice, if we found the solution and just kept it to ourselves, that would be wrong. Of course it would. But dear friends, we have something far greater in Christ, something far greater, a joy which this world cannot give us, a peace which this world cannot give us, a strength that this world cannot give us. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have such a wonderful strength given to us from on high. Strength to manage the storms of life. Strength to overcome sin. To overcome sin. We stand at the end of this year. How are you going to review this year when you look back? I'm sure there will be some very happy times, but I'm sure also there'll be times that you regret mistakes that you have made. Things that you know you shouldn't have done, things that you are ashamed of, because you didn't have any power over your sins, if you're without Christ. And well, in the new year, it's going to be exactly the same. You're going to start off with very good intentions, all these New Year's resolutions, but it'll be the same old story, but with Christ, trust in Christ, devote yourself to Christ, there is that new strength to overcome sin. We can't keep it to ourselves. We have to tell others. And also, of course, well, it's not just power over sin. We are forgiven all our sin. That is what we need. Every single one of us, we need this. The Bible teaches us that, well, our lives are limited. We will all come to the end of our lives one day. We will all stand before God, a holy God, in judgment, and we must know the forgiveness of our sins. Each and every one of us, not just some of us, we all have to stand before God one day. That's why we have to tell everyone. And the only way we can have everlasting life is if our sins are forgiven. And it's only through Christ. It's only Christ who has taken the punishment for our sin, stood condemned in our place. We have sinned, and yet Christ was forsaken. Christ was smitten of God for us, so that we may be forgiven all of our sins. That's why we go out. We can't keep that to ourselves. God forbid. We must tell people. The end, well, it will come for all of us. We must all meet our Maker. How will it be for you? You must have the forgiveness of your sin. Come to Christ, we say. Come and know that salvation that is so free, the most wonderful gift. At Christmas time, we think of gifts. Well, this is the most wonderful gift freely given to us, the Lord Jesus Christ and his atoning work, his dying on the cross, so that we may be forgiven. This is that unspeakable gift, because we never know, we do not know the wonderful love of Christ displayed for us when he died on the cross. Well, finally, just one more point. We have spoken about how they have made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. But let's go down to verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Well, this is actually the last that we hear of the shepherds in Scripture, that they were glorifying and praising God. That's the last we hear of the shepherds in the Bible. But you can be sure that this is actually what these same shepherds are doing right now. This is what these same shepherds are doing right now. You see, they haven't died. They trusted in Christ. And so they have everlasting life. And so now they've actually joined the angels. They've joined the angels in heaven who were praising and glorifying God in that field. Now they're there with them, doing exactly the same thing forever and ever, to the glory and praise of God and to their eternal bliss. You see, this is what the Lord calls us to. That is what the Lord calls us to. Nothing fearful, nothing sinister at all. This is what we are called to in the gospel. God calls us through Christ to glorify and praise him and to know his love forever and ever. And this is my final word to you. This is what brings joy at Christmas. Not just knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world, but why he was born into this world and what it means to you and what it gives to you. When we understand that, we have true joy. Joy that transcends just the giving of gifts and having a nice dinner. This is everlasting joy that no man shall take from you. That was the joy of the shepherds. This can be your joy even this day. And may the Lord bless each and every one of us with a blessed day, but with that faith, that blessed eternity in the joy of our Lord.